That kind of goes against the flesh a little bit, doesn't it? As soon as he started talking about fasting, it's like, I could just feel the cringing of the whole group, like, ugh, yeah. I don't even do that for my health. Take a breath. It's okay. Okay, let's see. I think about 99.9% of the people in this room know who we are. The Russells to Mexico, we are out of this church. I think the first time I came here was at the end of 04. Yes, that's longer than some of you have been alive. I'm old. It's getting to that point. The kids that I used to teach are now adults and about to have kids themselves. That's insane. Yeah, there's one of them right there. So anyways, we've been in this church for a long time. The Lord called us back in 2010 to be missionaries to Mexico. We hit the field down there in 2017. Been up here for a little while for my wife's health. And we've been here actually specifically for, I don't know, 5 months or something like that, seeking some doctors and different things. I know the prayer request went out the other night. Don't understand. Getting everything geared up to try and get out of here on Tuesday. She just had a really, really bad episode. Just, that autoimmune disease that she has that attacks her nervous system, and just could not do anything to get her body under control. It's just, she's having a hard time breathing and all the stuff that comes along with it. she is better, praise the Lord, and just really weak and tired. As of right now, the plan is to still try and get out of here on Tuesday, so appreciate your prayers on that. You say, you guys are crazy. Yeah, I know. spent about a month down there to just kind of settle in, and we're just, honestly, I don't plan on getting us involved much. We're just going to be there, and we're going to be seeking the Lord and just trying to see what the Lord would have for us, amen, and get some time with the people down there, the people that we love and that we've ministered to, and Angel and all them. And so be in prayer for all of that. And I just want to praise the Lord for you guys. Tell you that I appreciate you, because you guys have been an utter blessing to us in many ways, whether it be just loving on us, encouraging us, helping us, physically, financially, many different things. I look at all the faces, and just everybody in here has been a huge help to us. So thank you guys. Really appreciate it. Love you guys. And I do want to say, just piggyback with the conference, I have it in my notes. It's written down. Attend conference. I want to encourage you. I know it sounds kind of scary, especially if you're just kind of here Sunday morning only, main service only, once a week, once or twice, maybe 3 times a month. it sounds maybe a little scary. You got all those sign-ups back there, and they're talking about fasting, and this is crazy. Anybody else with me on that? I remember, that was me. I want to encourage you, come. It will change your life. God didn't call me to be a missionary because I came, so don't worry, don't get scared. come. And it's one day less than it normally is. It's only Friday night, Saturday, and a Sunday. You say, that's a lot of services. Yeah, amen, that's good for you. Every time you're here, you're out. You're not out there. You're not hearing the junk. You're not on the social media. You don't have the problems. And the Lord can purge that junk out of you, and he can put in you the things that need to be in you. Get to the men's meeting. Listen to those guys. Get to the ladies' meeting, you ladies. Come and hear the presentation, and it's phenomenal. It will change your life. You need it. And so for more of a just kind of a downplay, sympathetic role, and like, Pastor, come. It'll help you. Consider it. Don't just consider it. Do it. It's only 3 days out of the whole year. You got it. You can do it. And we're praying for you guys and praying for the conference. We're excited for you guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's where we're going to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start there. Obviously, being a missionary now, that has been definitely a theme. As the Lord goes around, has sent us around church to church, preached a lot on missions. I had never in my life noticed that thing until Pastor said that there's a time dial on the altar. I love guys like this. People like this, they notice everything. I don't notice any of that. And I live with one of them. My wife is like that. So I have until it kind of hits me, right? So if I stand over here, you guys, I'll just drag the pulpit over here. We got more time. We need people like that. If you're a person like me and you don't have that attention to detail, we need people like that. They help us. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read some verses here. We'll start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you in this morning here, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift you up and we praise you, Lord. Missions. We know it's just the heartbeat of your life, of you, of your existence. It's getting the gospel out there to this world. And that is the reason you came, was to save souls. And so as we sit here and have these things pass on our hearts, just ask that you would calm my nerves, that you would just speak to me, Lord. Give me all the right words. Guard my mouth. Just be with my mind, my heart, my words, my mouth. And I ask on the behalf of everybody that your Holy Spirit would just move and minister, Lord, that you would do the work on their hearts, that work that none of us can do. I could say one thing and you can use it in 100 different ways, Lord, and I just ask that you would do that and you would get a work done here this morning. You would encourage us in you and your word. Bless this time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so what do we got here? We got what the Lord has laid on my heart anyways, the thing that he's given me. I've preached, I think, missions probably the most here. I've preached a lot of different things being out of this church, but I'm just thinking, man, Lord, what could I preach that they haven't heard? Nothing. There's nothing new under the sun. And so I just asked him for a theme, and the thing that I got for you this morning is personal missions. Missions is not just for missionaries. Missions is for all of us. Every single individual in this room, even those kids that are sitting up there in that class, missions is for all of us. And as we come through chapter 5 here, it's talking about how, you know, we got this earthly vessel here, this earthly house, and inside of us is who we really are. It's our soul. It's who I am. That's who you are. It's in there. If you're saved today, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God sitting inside of you, protecting your soul from that sin that's on your flesh. And it talks about how, you know, we look forward to that day where we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. Oh, man, I pray that this is the year. I've been praying every year for about 10 years now. Lord, this could be the year. Just bring it. I want to hear that trumpet. I get my Superman pose. I'm ready to fly. Amen. And so talks about that, and then it talks about how when we're absent, we're present with the Lord, we're going to stand before him, and we go through that judgment seat of Christ, where we receive the things that we have done in this body, amen? We will do that. And so then it goes into verse 15, because of all that, and he, Christ, died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so, talking about how we shouldn't be living for ourselves. This life is not ours now. And it takes a little bit to grab a hold of that, but that's the truth of the matter. We're bought with a price, and the price is the blood of God, Jesus Christ. And that's where it goes into some personal missions here. We are a new creature. Hey, if you sit here today, maybe you've been here a couple times, maybe you've heard a little bit, maybe you haven't, you're like saved, born again, my soul, what? I don't understand all of this. Listen, the Bible tells us, this is the gospel, that you are a sinner, as well as I am a sinner. We are all sinners. There's no getting around that. We still have sin on us, even knowing we are saved. But there's a payment for that sin, and as the Bible says, you have come short of the glory of God. You will not arrive in heaven. Why? Because you have sin. You have to pay the payment of sin. God will not allow you in because you have sin. And that's the truth of it. And I don't like that as much as you probably don't like hearing that if you've never heard that in your life. But if God allowed my sin into heaven, is it really heaven? I mean, come on, that's not heaven. That's what we got on this world. And this world is not heaven. I don't care what any crazy dude out there says. We are not living in heaven. This is just a sin-riddled, wicked earth. And that is not going to be heaven. Heaven is going to be perfection. It's going to be holy. It's going to be righteousness. It's going to be without sorrow, without pain, without misery, without all the stuff that we experience in this world. We won't have it there. And that's because our sin's not going there. And so that is why Jesus Christ came, God Almighty in the flesh. And he lived a perfect and righteous life that we can't live, we didn't live, and we won't live. And he was tempted in all those points that we're tempted in, yet without sin. And he could have lived forever. And what did he do? The Bible says that he gave his life. I lay down my life. He took your sin and he put it on himself and he died. Being just shedding that pure blood with righteousness to pay for the penalty of your sin. And all you got, and then 3 days later, the best part, he rose again. He resurrected, amen, to prove his power. He's got the victory over sin. He's got the victory over hell and death. He's got the victory over all. And all you got to do today is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's that simple, guys. You place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll talk more about that as we kind of go through this message. That is the gospel in a nutshell. I mean, we could go to a lot of things and see a lot of things. If you've never heard anything about it, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've heard. That is it. That's what God has to tell us. And now if you're sitting here this morning and you are saved, you are born again, you are bought, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, you are going to heaven and you know it. I want to tell you right here in verse 17, first thing we see is we got a new life. All things are old. And we have a new life sitting in front of us, and we are to shed all of that junk in our old life, and we are to walk in newness of life for Christ. Amen. This doesn't come in a day. It's something that doesn't just, you know, I get saved and boom, man, everything's new. I'm never going to sin again. I wish. You're still going to have the struggles. You're just little by little, God works little by little by little with us. He's so gracious and kind and loving. But we are to just get rid of that. I got to stay away from that thing. We got to dump that junk just little by little, get that junk out of our life and start learning and growing. The Bible tells us time over time again to grow, to be more like Christ. And, you know, you got to be here to grow. You got to read your Bible to grow. You need to pray to grow. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. You ought to be praying and reading at a minimum. You need to be here. You need to learn other than just Sunday morning. You need to start grabbing a hold of a little bit of meat. Not so much you're going to choke, but just little by little. And you're learning and you're growing and you're getting rid of those old things. Amen. That's what you need. And with this new life that Jesus has given us, it says in verse 18, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us a ministry, a personal ministry for you. Not for your husband, not for your wife, no, not for the pastor, for you. And it is the ministry of reconciliation. Now this word, it's an easy word. It's literally just bringing two things that are separated back together. That's what reconciliation is. And God has given us the ministry, as it says here in verse 19 at the very end, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He has given us the gospel to go out and to reconcile God to man through Jesus Christ. There is no other way that we can be reconciled to God but through Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ himself said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the way. And we have been given a ministry. And not only that, but it says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, like the American ambassador to Mexico, he's down there and he speaks to the government of Mexico on behalf of the American government. It's a spokesperson for somebody. You have been given, designated the job by God himself to go out and be a spokesperson in the stead of Jesus Christ, to give people the gospel. That is a personal thing. It's not just for missionaries. And this is a thing that you need to incorporate in your life. It's something God desires for you to do. Hey, guess what? It's something that's inside of you that you want to do. Not this thing. Yeah, this thing right here. It doesn't want to go out and do that. But you do. That Holy Spirit of God inside of you wants you to do that thing. It's just a natural thing that comes with this new life. And just how great, how refreshing, if I can use that word, it is to be a faithful ambassador. If you look over in Proverbs with me, Proverbs 25, you probably already know where I'm going. Proverbs 25:25. Some of the famous verses that we know about this stuff. It's such a refreshing thing if you've never experienced it to be a faithful ambassador, to be fulfilling that ministry of reconciliation that God has given you. And Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Oh man, you know, you're working on one of those hot days out there cutting grass, doing whatever you're doing. Maybe you guys were doing it yesterday. I wasn't here. Sorry. And you get thirsty. There's nothing like just that cold ding, 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 ice in the cup, cold glass of water, and just, it's refreshing. And that's what it is. It's the good news. You know what the word gospel means? It means good news. That good news of the gospel is, it's refreshing to the soul. It says, don't turn there. You don't have to turn there unless you want to. But in Isaiah 59, it says, where are we at here? 52, sorry, Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. How beautiful are the feet of the men and the women that go out there and they publish the good tidings of good things, of good news, of the gospel, of salvation to the thirsty souls out there that are looking. How beautiful were the feet of the man that stood in this pulpit back in 2004 and the first time I walked through that door because a pretty girl invited me. She's now my wife. I did not want to be here, but how faithful he was to stand there and tell me and preach a message that day that I came on hell and say, hell is hot. Hell is where you're going because of sin. But that's not what God wants. And he preached Jesus Christ out of the gospel with the Bible open and being able to see it in the verses and have that Holy Spirit of God speak to me. And I remember, you know, how when I got done there, I didn't come to the altar. No way I was coming in front of you weirdos. And I went home to my apartment and I went right into my room and I knelt down and I was like, God, this is it. I know this is the thing because I was already seeking in my life. Jesus Christ is it. I want Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. How beautiful the feet of that man. How refreshing that message, that good news to me that I could be saved and go to heaven. It's awesome when you fulfill that ministry, guys. You have that personal ministry on you. And when you don't fulfill it, there's just a burden there and there's a hole there and you don't understand. I'm telling you, this is a thing you need to do. It's a thing that God wants you to do. It's a thing that you want to do. The thing whenever we don't do it, look in Proverbs 26, we're already here. In verse 6, he that sendeth the message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. How horrible it is whenever we don't go fulfill that. Look in chapter 10. When we don't go fulfill that ministry, being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 10, verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes. Here in Washington, we all know about it. We all love little backyard fires, camping fires, barbecue, right? Get that smoke hits the eye. Oh, man. Can't see for about 15 seconds. Stings like nothing else, right? Look what it says, man. As smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Whew. That's rough. That's how we are to God whenever he has sent us out to give the gospel and we don't. That's a rough deal. I want to tell you this morning, it's time to stand up. Stand up and fulfill the ministry that God has given us. Fulfill that position of being an ambassador for Christ that God wants us to do. It's time to stand up in the little bit of time that we have. As I said, it really could be this year that Jesus Christ blows that trumpet. We're going to hear that long blast of the trumpet. We're going to fly out of here. I think when we hear that trumpet, I always kind of imagine we're going to hear it. In the Old Testament, it talks about the gathering of the men, and they use a trumpet to do that. And there's two long blasts. I'm not going to say it's like this. That's what I think. That's what I see in the Bible. And that you hear that first long blast, I think everybody that's saved is going to hear that and be like, oh no, I didn't do enough. Or we're going to be doing something that we ought not to be doing. Ooh, right now? Like right now? You can feel just the sincerity. That's what it's going to be like, guys. We have little time left. It's time to fulfill the ministry that God has given us. It's time to get involved. It's time to do this. And as Christians, there's some things that just really get in the way of us doing this. All of that was introduction that I just gave you. All introduction. You're like, yeah, I'm ready to go home. You've given me enough. This is the meat of the message. There's some things that really stop us that just kind of get in the way. That's the things I want to get into, the things that are holding us back. I think there's some natural things, maybe you're newly saved or whatever. Maybe you're not living the Christian life. I don't know. And you've been saved for 20 years, but you just don't know. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I didn't know I was supposed to do that. What? Yeah. I don't really want to give you that excuse because I think there's something that God puts in you to do that thing anyway. But maybe you just don't realize how important it is. Maybe you're just not really thinking about the people around you in your life in a spiritual way. I wonder where they're going whenever they die. I wonder what's going to happen to that person. I wonder what's going to happen to my loved one. But like I say, there's a natural desire that God puts inside of us unless you quench the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. That I do know happens. I do know that God will sometimes put a person on your heart and you'll be kind of like, ugh. Just the turning of the shoulder. You give the Holy Spirit of God the cold shoulder. You just kind of quench that spirit. There's different reasons. Fear, pride. I don't want to be that weirdo. Or whatever it might be, quenching the Holy Spirit of God whenever he lays it on your heart to give it to somebody, the gospel that is, to tell somebody. You know, sometimes it's just... I don't know how to talk to people about. I'm not an eloquent speaker. Amen. There's a guy in the Bible just like you. His name was Moses. Maybe you've heard of him. God came to him and said, you're going to go to Israel and you're going to tell him, the Lord thy God hath called you out. We're getting out of Egypt. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm slow of speech. I don't know how to talk. You know what God told him? Who made the tongue? Hath not I made the tongue? Don't worry, I'll be with your mouth. I'll show you how to speak. I'll help you through this. God will help you through it. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know how to get them saved. You know, I don't know the Bible well enough. Number one, get in church. I'm going to say that with the best spirit possible because it is a frustrating thing for any preacher, any pastor. Get in church. But honestly, get in. It's where you're going to start learning. You're going to start growing. You're going to start hearing things. You're going to start seeing scripture. You're going to be like, oh, wow, okay, that's how that works. I didn't understand that. Now I do. But let me ask you a question. Do you know how you got saved? Yeah, you do. You know how you got saved? You trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you don't know all the ins and outs and all the deep things. You don't need all that. Just tell them what you know. Yeah, they have a lot of questions. Yeah, they're going to say a lot of things. Don't worry about it. Your job is not to save them because you can't save them. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to tell them. You are an ambassador. That's it. A lot easier when you put it that way, huh? Oh, all I got to do is tell them? Yeah, that's it. Just tell them and run away. Here you go. I'm out. That's how it starts out, and that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to be like that. Sometimes, you know, you're in the boat of 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 here. This is a rough one. Sometimes you're just right here in this boat of 2 Timothy. I know why the pastor built this thing into the pulpit here. Because the first time I preached a message during missions conference, I set my thermos there. And he sees everything now. I love it. Sorry. 2 Timothy 2. That thing is phenomenal, though. I actually want one of those down there in Mexico. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Sometimes you know what it is? You get caught up with the affairs of this life. We're chasing the dream, man, the American dream. You better throw that thing in the trash. I'm just telling you right now. The American dream has killed Christianity. It is one of the most detrimental things to a Christian in America, the American dream. But we're chasing the careers, and we're chasing love, and we're chasing, you know, money and the things that we can buy and the comforts and all. We're chasing the kids and their dreams and sports, and we're chasing all the things of this life. And we're entangled. We're trapped. I had this apple tree on our property before we moved and everything. And it was an old apple tree out back, and it was barely producing anything. And it really made me realize why pruning a tree is so important. The branches were just, man, like this. And there was just no life entangled. And that's what happens whenever we get entangled with the affairs of this life. And they become more important than the things of God. It's time to stand up, guys. It's time to get out of that. I'll give you another one. Look with me in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah. After Daniel going through there, before you hit Matthew, you'll find it eventually. Sometimes we just get flat out rebellious against God. We know. We do know, but, and you see with Jonah here in chapter 1, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you don't know what any of that means, it said God told him to stand up and, hey, go that way east and get over there to Nineveh and tell them about me. Tell them they need to get right with God. I want to have mercy on them. I want to do right to them. Get over there and tell them. And Jonah got up and went that way. He went west. And not only did he go west until he hit the Great Sea there, the Mediterranean Sea, he jumped on the boat and he was going to go all the way. I'm done. Sometimes we would rather pay the price from God than actually do what he tells us to do. I want my life. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to get caught up in all that. And there is a price to be paid. You see it here. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. And then this great storm came in verse 5. All these mariners, they're scared. They're calling out to their gods. But what about Jonah? Halfway through the verse there, it says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. And that's what happens when we flee from the presence of the Lord, the voice of the Lord that's telling them, go tell them. Go give them the gospel. We go down and we go down and we go down and we pay the price as we flee the presence of the Lord. And we get a little bit bitter. And you see the point here where these men, they find out it's Jonah. He's the reason for the storm. And they say, what do we do? Jonah, he says in verse 12 there, just cast me out into the sea. What? How about you repent and get right with the Lord? Nope, just cast me into the sea. Just ditch me. And the payment kept on going. You see in chapter 2, verse 2, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go to hell, because if you're born and saved, born again and saved this morning, you're not going to hell. You don't have to worry about that. But there's a price you're going to pay. And you're going to find yourself down in this pit, and you're going to feel entrapped, and you're going to feel bars around you, and you're going to feel there's a hole. There's a hole. You're not fulfilling the ministry that God has given you. You think it's a ministry for just the preacher. You think it's a ministry for somebody else. It's a ministry for you. It's a ministry for all of us. And I'm going to give you some good reasons why in a little bit. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. You know, sometimes we just get rebellious. Sometimes it's more common. Look in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. We find that this happens. Jeremiah is out there since he was a young, I'll say young adult, young boy, young teenager, whatever. Young man, preaching to his people, giving them God's word, true words. They weren't wrong. They were right. Just hard words to swallow. And in verse 7 here, Jeremiah is speaking. He says, oh Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Why? Because he's preaching God's word and it's not turning out how he'd like it. He says, thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. There's another reason we stop telling people. Maybe you have told people you kind of were doing that thing, but they all turned against you. They started mocking me. Especially, you know, that hurts. That's hard. Especially when it's the ones we love. It's our family. It's our friends. It's the ones that are close to us, our coworkers. As we start to talk to them, we build friendships in this world. And they start mocking you. And they turn on you. That hurts. And you start to say, forget that. That's what Jeremiah did. Look in verse 8. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because of the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm not doing it anymore. They're all against me. They're all mocking me. They've turned. And that is just a rough deal. I remember, you know, my family, when I got saved, I remember as a kid, I wanted to go to heaven. I was like, I want to go to heaven. I knew God was real. I saw God do things in my life as a teenager that I knew only God could do. But I live in a town of 1,500 people with 8 different churches, literally. 8 different denominations, and I knew the people. I saw the people. I was like, I'm not going to church. But I want to go to heaven. I want to be with God. And then I found the truth. It's like, wow. A wicked man like me with the things that I've done in my life, I get to go to heaven. This is amazing. My family obviously doesn't know. They are going to be so excited. And I started talking to them and telling them about sin and hell and heaven and God and Jesus Christ. Who are you to tell me that I've sinned? I'm a sinner? Do you know your life? Yeah, I know my life. But that's not the point. Jesus Christ, he paid for you. That might be good for you. To each their own. And they started mocking me. And, you know, instead of being the black sheep, they'd be like, oh, Adam, he's the white sheep of the family. He's the holy one. And then they stopped. We love to play board games together and all that stuff. You know, we still do love board games. We finally just got pulled into the dark side of Catan. You guys are wicked. No, we never liked it till we came here, but you guys have made us like it. I remember one time specifically, they called up and my sister, hey, do you have this board game? I was like, oh yeah, it's in the closet. Oh, can I come by and grab it? Oh, yeah, you're playing a game. We could just swing by. We're not doing anything. Oh no, it's just, you know, us and maybe mom. We'll just, you know, I'll just swing by and get it. Well, they just lived down the road, and I looked down the road, and I'm like, oh, wow, there's my cousin's car, my brother's car, my sister's car, my other sister's car, my other cousin's. Well, nobody, huh? Apparently, they don't want the holy sheep around. Yeah, that hurts. It makes you want to stop talking to the people that you love. It makes you want to not do what God has. You know, sometimes that's just them. And you got to realize, people don't take it well. We live in a very closed off to the gospel generation. We honestly do. We live in a rough generation to preach the gospel to. Why? There's so many distractions. There's so much truth out there and just junk to load them down. And to talk about God and heaven and hell and sin and all that. No, man, they don't. They are closed off. The Pacific Northwest is one of the worst spots of the whole nation. We've been to like 46 states, I think it is. This is one of the hardest nations or states in the nation to talk to people about the gospel. It really is. It's rough. But you know, sometimes it's just them, sometimes it's us. Look with me and hold your place there, but look in Colossians 4. Colossians 4, you know, you're kind of learning about this stuff. Maybe you do want to do it, but it's like, it's just not working out. This is something that God taught me. It's a learning thing. It's a growth process. Colossians 4, we see in verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, the lost people that are around us, without. Redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, sometimes a guy like me, especially how I used to be, a little bit of salt is good, so a whole lot of salt's going to be even better. And we just pour that salt on those people with very little grace. And sometimes we just really don't know how to witness. Out of the sincerity of our heart and the desire of just to give them the truth. You see what it is? It says always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt's really good. We don't want to do it probably because there's better ways to do it, but you got a wound and salt will just heal that wound up a little bit. But like a slug, man, you dump salt on a slug and it just kills it. Too much salt is not okay. Seasoned with salt. And you learn little by little. Grace, A little bit of seasoning, grace, a little bit of seasoning. You know, after 2 years of my family just kind of really rejecting us, and I learned to season with salt. They all started kind of coming around. They all started seeing what God was doing in our life, and they all started seeing the difference in our kids and their kids, and you know, just the drama that we didn't have in our lives and they did have in their lives, and they're like, something's there. And they started just... yeah, they wanted to ask us, but they knew that it was going to just be dumped on them. So they would start kind of asking, and it's season. They already knew. All right, we'd already dumped it on them. So, you know, just season. Just season a little bit here, a little bit of there, a whole lot of grace. Yeah. All my whole family now has a profession of salvation. They don't all live it. I encourage them in that, but they all... apparent, according to their own testimony, are saved and going to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you're not going to be able to just dump that word off. Look in Jeremiah where we were. The rest of that verse in verse 9, it says, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, meaning not speaking. And I could not stay. I couldn't hold myself back from telling him. That's what happens when we don't give them what God has put inside of us to give them. They're going to turn on you. They're going to mock you. And it's part of it. But it's not an excuse. It's not a reason to not fulfill the ministry that you've been given. Look with me in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Is this resonating here this morning? Maybe it's a little too personal. Romans chapter 10 here. Sometimes... we get tired of saying or giving the gospel because simply they just won't believe. You see that here in Isaiah got that way in Romans 10, 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? They haven't believed. They're not believing. They're not obeying the gospel. They don't want it. They don't care. They're just mocking me. They're shunning me. You know what? I'm done. What's the point? Why are we doing this? True. True. Amen. Come on, tell me you haven't felt that way before. But what about those that are seeking? What about those that are? Me at 23 years old, can't really say it, but tatted up. In my day, I was tatted up. There's housewives today that put me to shame. Tatted up and just, you know, running around my board shorts and flip-flops all summer long and just being who I was and my mouth, you know, coming out of the mouth, army, being an army grunt, not talking like a sailor, but an army infantry grunt, Jeff. And just every word just needed to be censored. I actually had some videos that years later I found them like, oh, and I watched the videos and I got about 5-10 minutes through and I just was sick to my stomach. I just couldn't even listen to myself. I threw it away. It's like, I don't want anybody to hear this and see this, even myself. This is ridiculous. But the guy that I was, I'm going to do what I want to do because I can do what I want to do, and you're not going to tell me not to do it, and I will achieve because I will just ram my head against that wall until I bust through the wall. Trust me. I was that guy. You would never have known looking at me at 23 years old that I would have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You would never have thought it in a million years. You don't know who you're dealing with. People that don't know me from 20 years ago, they look at me today and they're like, oh wow, he's just on a whole different level. No, I'm not on a whole different level, trust me. I'm just like you. I just love the Lord. I just want to follow him. You don't know what you're dealing with, and your job is to speak. That's it. And sometimes God gives us some people to speak to, and we're like, well, they're not going to believe anyway. You can't judge the exterior. You really can't. You know, my wife and I, we were coaching our kids' soccer team at that time in the community, and just met a family, and the guy was a trucker. And you know truckers. Sorry, Brother Lund. you know truckers and their looks and who they are and everything. And well, the wife wanted to come to church, and I was talking to the guy just a little bit, and I didn't even give him the gospel. I just said, hey, man, you can come to church. And he's like, oh, I work on Sundays. I'm like, oh, yeah, I get that. He's like, yeah, I leave the house at 3 in the afternoon. Oh, well, you can come. And my wife being sweet, shh, shut up, Adam. What do you mean? He could come. That's all I said. About 2 weeks later, steps into my house, and within 5 minutes, he's weeping and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And here he is sitting here still today, Brother Rich Daly. And his whole family, his kids are saved. You don't know. You just don't know. I didn't know that the whole month prior, or however long it was, he could tell you that that his coworker was preaching to him and working on his heart, and God was already stirring things. All I did was say, hey, you need to get in the place that you're supposed to be. You just don't know who you're dealing with. God puts it on your heart. Speak. You can't judge the exterior. You can't be focused on the results. Noah had 7 people, and they were kind of forced to because, like my kids, they were drug into it. I mean, come on. You got to stop worrying about who's going to believe and what this person's going to say and this. No, just go do your part. Just speak. Be the mouthpiece. Be the ambassador. It doesn't matter if they're going to believe or not. There's people out there that are legitimately seeking. And you won't see it on their face. You won't even know it. Last thing I want to give you here in Matthew 11. This is kind of the worst one in a way. This is the worst one in a way, I think. I think for me, anyway. I don't know about you guys. I know most preachers would say this. I say it. As I'm preparing a message, the Lord kind of body slams me down on the ground with a message. So got John the Baptist here. It says in let's look at just verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 of his disciples and said unto him, unto Jesus Christ, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Some of the worst things you can do is get offended at God because of what's going on in your life. Yeah, that's what was going on with John. And Jesus Christ even told him in verse 6, when you go back, tell John, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. That was John the Baptist. Man, John the Baptist was, it says here in verse 11, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, one of the greatest men to ever walk the face of this planet, who is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came in with the power of Elijah, and he turned the hearts of the fathers to the sons to the hearts. He turned the hearts of Israel and prepared their hearts to receive their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he gave his life to do that. I mean, he was doing more than I would do. He was out there just wearing some camel smock and eating locusts and honey. I like honey, but it's about it. Preparing their hearts, and how many people he baptized and got their hearts ready, and then came on the scene, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. And Israel was ready. Boom, here we go. I must decrease, he must increase. And he's given his life to do this, and he's still doing the right thing for the cause of God. And where does he land? In prison. Here he is sitting in a dark hole in prison. Are you he that we should seek, or do we go find another? Are you the one that's coming? I mean, what are we doing here? Look at my life. I've given it to you. I've given everything. And I'm trapped in a prison. It happens. I look around with a lot of really good people, and I know you got to be feeling like me at times where you're just in a dark hole. What in the world am I doing with my life? And people with marital situations and financial situations and family problems and health, and here I am, Lord. What good is this doing? Have you been there? Yeah. Well, I bet you have. We all get there. It's the worst thing you can do. It's the worst position you can allow yourself to go into. Being offended at God. Not a good spot. I think of all these, you know, especially the missionaries that I read of in the past. Like I had an Ehrem Judson burying multiple wives and kids and everything. And John Patton down there in the South Pacific Islands doing the same thing. But you got guys today, modern, you know, with the Rismondo family, kids being taken for child trafficking. Yeah. And the one just recently, a few weeks ago, a Sunday morning service, they walk in and rob the church and take him, and he's held ransom in the trunk of a car for who knows how many days. Here I am, Lord, giving my life for you. The Westco family do 2 years of deputation. They get on the field same time as us. And 3 days later, the man is shot in the head, leaving his wife with 7 young kids. What? Yeah, we can look at those situations and say, are you the one? Or should we seek another? What are we doing? It's rough. Missionaries, their wives get ridden with these deathbed illnesses, and they come off the field. We're not the only ones. We're not the only ones. I think of these missionaries. I think of you guys going through things. I think of people going through things, and this is a bad spot to get to. And I'll give you a personal testimony. Not proud of it, but the Lord told me to give it to you. You know, as Pastor would say, it got pretty dicey. It got pretty dicey in North Carolina over there. After seeing the hand of God move, with God lining us up with a doctor who's not only born again, but on the same page of us, the first thing he told us on the phone before he even met him was, I don't know God's will for your life. I don't know if it's God's will that you are healed. Amen. I don't need a doctor cramming junk at us and saying that he can work miracles. Lining us up with the doctor that would be for us. And not only that, we drop into Pensacola and there's a van. I didn't ask one single person, but somebody gave their van and it's sitting in Bruce's driveway just waiting for us to drive. We're driving on our way up to North Carolina. I got a hotel for one night. I don't know what we're doing. I have no idea. I get a call from another preacher friend. And he says, hey, I found a place for you to stay in North Carolina if you want to stay there as long as you want. The pastor said, you could be there for a year if you want. And I was thinking, yeah, right, man, we're going to be here for 2 weeks. And I look it up online and everything, and it's on the backside of a property, a good church there, with some privacy, 20 minutes from the doctor's office. Wow, this is amazing. Didn't charge us one penny. For the whole time, 2 years it ended up being that we sat on their property going through this stuff. Just being a blessing. And us trying to be a blessing to them. God, the hand of God moving. Lining everything up. This is what I got for you right now. I know you don't understand, but this is what I got for you right now. And I'm thinking, yeah, about 2 weeks we'll have this kind of figured out and get a treatment thing, you know, kind of figure things out. About 2 or 3 months in, I'm going, what in the world are we doing? I'm sitting here in a prison. What in the world, Lord? I mean, did you not see all the great things that you were doing? I mean, come on. And as I, you know, the weeks are passing by and I'm talking to people, I'm like, God is good. And there's just that little seed of bitterness in me going, is he really good? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? And telling people, God knows what he's doing. You just got to trust him. Do you really? Amen. Can you trust him? Look at your life. You start going out soul winning with the guys every week and, you know, knocking on doors and telling people, trusting in Jesus Christ is the most important decision of this lifetime. And just that little seed there going, are you sure? Look how it's turned out for you. Offended at God. I'm not even going to ask if that's where you're at today. I hope you're not. But we can get there. Offended at God. And God says there to Israel in Isaiah, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, I'll make the white as wool. Come now and let us reason together. You know, sometimes there's points in our walks of Christianity, and I think God brings us to these points for a reason. You need to have a good old-fashioned come-to-Jesus meeting, as they would say down there in the South. A good old-fashioned come-to-Jesus meeting and reason with him. And I had that meeting with him. My wife put these prayer books together where every day kind of had its own prayer theme. And Thanksgiving Thursday, a day where you just give Thanksgiving. That's all you do. You get down and you thank God. No asking him for anything and all that. And I got down and I was thanking God. And I was just reminiscing like, wow, man. I mean, Lord, you gave me physical life. I didn't have to be born, yet I have life. And not only that, but the physical life that you gave me, I messed it up. I'm the one that entrenched myself in all of the junk and the sin and the wickedness. And yet you saved me from that and gave me eternal life. Holy moly, guacamole. God, you are so good. I know that I get to go to heaven. Well, it's going to be perfect one day. We're not going to have to worry about all of this junk. It's going to be perfection. Thank you for giving me a wife that's saved and fears you just like I do. She loves you. Thank you for saving the souls of my kids and drawing them to the truth. Oh, Lord, thank you that we all get to be together with you one day. It doesn't matter what's going to happen in this life. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks right in that moment. Wow, you're so good. Amen. It's okay if my wife dies. It's okay. It's going to be better than okay for her. She's going to be in perfection. And we're going to carry on with you, and one day we're going to be in perfection. Wow. I don't need to be offended. This is ridiculous. Praise you, Lord. You're so good. Why am I offended? Yes, it's the best thing you can do with your life. Trust Jesus Christ. Fulfill what he has for you in this life. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. And as I'm talking to these people and God threw this on me and I realized, man, this is a burden I don't have to carry. I don't need to worry about if my wife passes away. I don't want her to, but I don't have to worry anymore. She's going to perfection, and so am I, and so are my kids. Because of you. It's them. It's them. They're the ones that don't have this. Wow. Look at me. Look with me in Psalm 73. I'm not the first person to come to this realization. Psalm 73, You look with me and a man named Asaph. A man named Asaph here has the same problems going on. He says in verse 2, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And it says in verse 12, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Lord, what in the world? These people out there, they don't even know you. They don't love you. They're prospering, and I'm sitting here in darkness in a prison. Are you the one, or seek we for another? It doesn't make sense." We get there, but there comes a point when you get with Jesus Christ, when he shows you the truth. And it's not until verse 17, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein." Amen. The end of the foolish, the end of the wicked, the end of the lost, the unborn again, meaning they don't have that second birth. I realize the end of them, and my ending is good. We got some battles in the Christian life, but what have they got? Where are they going? What's going to happen to them? And he realized, oh my goodness, they have destruction coming. And that's exactly what God says. In verse 18, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought down into desolation as in a moment?" In one moment, they're going to slide over from the present life that we have into an eternity of hell and flame and fire and torture and misery for all eternity. Just like you see in Luke 16, "Just a drop of water on my tongue, please." That's what they're going to have for all eternity. Yeah, we may have some battles to go through, but we're going to perfection, guys. What about them? They're the ones that need this. I need to fulfill my ministry for their sake. I need to tell them so they can have the perfection to go to. And you see Asaph, see what he says in verse 21, "Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I." They don't know where they're going, but they can. They need Jesus Christ. And here's what they have no hope in this life. They treat us bad. They mock us. They turn on us. They do these things. But guys, there's no hope for them without the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what it comes down to? It comes down to Matthew 9:36. "And Jesus went about the cities and villages, and he saw the people, and he had compassion on them." Compassion. It all is going to come down to compassion. And this thing of missions, there's so many other things. When you come for the conference, you need it, guys. Come. There's so many other parts of this missions thing that you're going to hear about that you probably never heard of. Maybe you have, and it's going to re-stir some things inside of you. It's the heartbeat of God. Missions is the heartbeat of God. That is why Jesus Christ came. That is why he gave his life, to save the lost, to save mankind, to save his creation. And to us, to you and I, God has given a personal ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, to go out and be ambassadors. And I don't know if you fall into any of these categories. Maybe you're plowing ahead and you're doing great, and I pray that you are. I hope that you are. Maybe you do sit in one of these categories. I implore you, I beg you, get in. Fulfill that ministry. One day, very soon, we're going to be in perfection, and you're never going to have the ministry to be able to give again. That ministry is over. It's done. Once we get up there, it's done. And so I just ask you this morning, where are you at? Where are you at with this personal ministry of reconciliation? Reconciling man to God through Jesus Christ. And we'll just go ahead and take a time here. I'm sure we'll have a piano player come up. Pastor, come on up. Your people, your flock. Thank you.